care about the details of my life. Like every detail. We were talking about this in the ladies group. You know, I don't know. I mean, really, everything? Isn't God really busy? Does he care about every little thing? We think that God cannot be bothered by the detail or the minor thing or milestones in our life. God's busy. That's the way we think. Or there are bigger problems in my life. Our passage this morning refutes this way of thinking. What do we hear in the passage? Every little detail of your life matters to God. You might say, wait, I don't know if I want. I don't know if I want God in the details of my life. That might be a little bit too specific, right? I want to slip past the radar once in a while. Maybe I don't want God looking at everything. Well, that's not an option. God sees the whole of me. And he sees the whole of you, flaws and all. Everything. Nothing goes unnoticed. When I was a kid, I used to think I was Evel Knievel. I think it was from the toy, you know, when you wind up the toy, and then some of you know what the other group is like, but this is out of mind. And then when I got a BMX bike, which you probably also don't know what that is, but I started riding and I was going to jump the Grand Canyon. And so I put a piece of plywood on the tire, you know, like a big tire, and it was a truck tire, and you had this long sort of like plywood lid on it, and I was like, Dad, watch this jump. And I'm trying to get my dad's attention, and I drive over and I pull off, and wait, one more, let me try one more time. And one turned into three, turned into 10. It's kind of a hilarious thing. I just wanted to be seen. Look at me. I exist. I'm here. The other night we had a bonfire with the neighbors in our backyard, and our girls are trying to learn jump serves in volleyball. So throw the ball up and jump. And it is kind of hard, especially for someone who's entering high school or before that. And I hear the same words from my childhood. Dad, watch me serve. She throws it up and she misses it. Why not that one? No. Hold on, okay, one more. No, and then one turned into three, turned into 10. It's like, Dad, I just want you to see me. My dog is not into the act. He brings me the rope, and he's going to show me his tug-of-war skills. And he's like, come on, let's go. And, you know, he's just like, oh, man, we have to do this right now. So Bear wants the attention. Dad. And then there's the opposite of this sort of concept, where kids don't want you to see them, right? Where it's, Dad, are you coming to my practice? Nobody comes to practice. I don't want you to come to my practice. I might mess up. Or, Dad, are you coming to my game? Like, of course I'm coming to your game. Do you have to come to my game? It makes me nervous. This is kind of like the problem that we have in our relationship with God. We want God to see the Facebook page us. Right? The Instagram version of us. Hey. But the mugshot version of us, we don't want God to see. It's like, oh God, I don't think we should be here right now. It's not a good time. It's not looking good. But what the gospel teaches us is that God cares about it all. God wants a relationship with all of us, full time, our whole being, the good and the bad. Nothing about us is insignificant to God. No person is insignificant to God. Do you get that from the passage this morning? I do. That's what the two sparrows for a penny is all about. Do you get the meaning in that? The sparrows are so cheap that you can't just buy one. They're cheaper than the smallest unit of money. But not one will fall away from God's attention. All the hairs on your head are numbered and accounted for. You matter to God. All of you. God cares about the details of your life. Your true friends, people who love you, your family, they love you even despite the flaws, right? For people who only want the best version of you, they'll drop you in a second, right? Sometimes that's family, and sometimes that's even friends. Think of a parent who only wants to see the good version of their child. You're not close with that parent, are you? Because there's a hidden side of you that you can't share. The relationship is only a part-time relationship. We should keep this in mind when we think about our relationship with God. God wants to see all of us. Everything about us is important to God. When the world rejects us, they reject the gospel. Hear me out. Think this through. Jesus' ministry was to include people who traditionally were not included in the church. That was the whole fight of the gospel. It would go around and meet all these people that are like, they're not us, they're not us. And that made many of the established folk upset. What are you doing? You have to be born into this group. Thought that Jesus was corrupting the church's teachings. That was the motivation to get rid of him. That's what they held against him. Jesus, you're messing up everything. Jesus is continually bringing people back to a right relationship with God. And his disciples are called to constantly invite people into the fellowship of Christ. That was their call. Will there come a period in history, in our community here, where being a Christian, being in that inclusive fellowship, being a proclaimer of Christ's righteousness, the gospel of Jesus Christ, will there be a time here in this neighborhood where that will get you killed? We would say, no, never. If we were in such an era, if you could imagine, there have been many over history, but if you could imagine your own situation, if we were in such an era, if the environment could be more hostile than it already is, in a very severe way, would the Christian church survive? Columbus, Ohio. Would it? If it was that bad, where people were being persecuted, like physically, or being Christian, would the Christian church survive in Columbus, Ohio? Would we still gather as a family? What would be our greatest fear in such a hostile circumstance? Physical harm? Death? The passage this morning invites you to not just think about such a circumstance, but to plan for it. That's what he's telling his disciples. Plan for it. When they persecute you in the towns, keep moving. Gospel passage says, it's not the destruction of the body that you should be worried about. Rather, beware of the destroyer of the soul, the one who breaks your spirit. The persecution of the body is not nearly as costly as the fight over the soul or the spirit of the person. When the spirit is broken, it seems there's no hope. I want to make another, hopefully helpful statement. All broken spirits are broken by a power outside of God. I've been saying that to myself all week. Is that true? Is that true? And I've tested it and tested it. And I've come to the conclusion that this is a very true statement that I've just not really paid attention to in my life. All broken spirits are broken by some power outside of God. Job situation, a disappointment, disease, impending death, spousal issues, parent and child issues, drugs, substance dependence issues, physical health issues. An obstacle that seems insurmountable. Whatever it is, it seems to break our spirit and diminishes our hope in the future. These influences are not from God. These spirit killers run contrary the gospel we've been given. God tells us in so many words that everything in our life is valuable and matters to God. The good and the bad. God cares about it all. God restores all of it in Jesus Christ. God repairs and resurrects it. All of it into new life. For those who believe. And those who trust in Him. This is why you see Christians in the worst of circumstances thriving. It's amazing. You see all these Christians around the world today. You see all these Christians around in history. Persecuted and in horrible situations that we would never think we could survive through. And they're thriving. Their spirit is alive and on fire with hope in the gospel. They triumph over the worst adversity with a smile. We see our redemption in Jesus Christ. As Christians, we proclaim the good news of the gospel. That the result of a person's sin is the death of the body and the soul. This is how your Romans passage ends. The payment of rejecting God is death. But the free gift, not just the thing, the free gift, one that you didn't pay for, but Christ paid for, the free gift of God is eternal life. What you think is insignificant to God is actually eternally valuable to God.